Practical and Audacious Faith series. I had a friend, pray yourself hot and preach yourself empty. And this morning, I asked the group last night in prayer, I said, pray for me. I've read all 24 chapters in the book of Joshua this week, and I am like so ready to preach. And I don't know if you're ready to receive or not, but I'm ready to preach. So if you are ready to receive, I think God's going to do some great stuff for us this morning. So it looks like one of us is ready. But you're going to get ready. And listen, this is one of those sermons, you know, I almost feel like I have to apologize. And I believe the Bible's true from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, I believe it's true. I love the Old Testament. I love the story of Joshua. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 says, all those things that happened in the Old Testament, they happened for examples to us so that we can know the rhythm and the pattern of how God works in our lives. So the Old Testament, you can dust it off. It's very relevant. And this morning, get up and get ready. Practical and audacious faith. Practical because you need faith that is useful. The word practical means adapted or designed for actual use. Useful. We need a faith that we can use, not just on Sunday mornings. Secondly, audacious means extremely bold or daring. Recklessly brave. Say that with me. Recklessly brave. Webster says the last thing, that it's fearless to be audacious. And let me say something about audacious faith. I think that there is a place for fear when you're operating in audacious faith. I think when you attempt something truly great for God, that you have moments where you ask yourself, what have I committed to? What am I doing? And that's human nature. But you can still be used of God even though you have moments. And myself, I love the Lord. I believe the Bible is true. But I have moments where I go, God, I need your help. I don't know what I've gotten myself into. I've bit off more than I can chew. But you may have moments of fear, but God calls us to be recklessly brave. And we looked in week number one about times that we needed miracles that were practical. And most of the ones in the Bible are just that. And then we looked at that those miracles have an audacious component to them, like getting out of Egypt. They needed to get out, but there was a sea in front of them. And they couldn't get out unless God parted that sea. And so it was a practical miracle. And then it was supernatural that they went across 3 million people on dry ground. And what was even more audacious about it was Pharaoh's army was drowned in the same river or the same Red Sea. And so we need a faith that is useful. And I pray that when I preach on Sundays that the sermon will find its way into your Tuesday morning and your Thursday afternoon. That what God says to you in here on Sundays won't just have an excitable kind of goosebump experience, but that what we share from God's word will kind of mess up our week and it will get into us and sustain us so that we can have useful faith that is supernatural as well. The whole series started in Joshua chapter 10, where there was a little, kind of, oftentimes an overlooked miracle where Joshua prayed and said, sun stand still, moon stand still. The practical side of that was he needed more daylight so he could accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. And that sun stood still, and we looked at that. Now this morning, I want us to drill down, and we're going to look at where God calls Joshua, where he gives him the revealed purpose, the destiny for his life, for Joshua's life. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and then verse 5, it says this in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God speaking to Moses. I'm sorry, to Joshua. And the first thing he says is, Moses is dead. I don't have time to get all into that, but that's huge. Moses, the one I called from the burning bush to bring my children out, he's dead. Now therefore, arise, go over or across this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that you set the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What a great promise. Then he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now listen, it's my strong belief that God has a specific calling and purpose and destiny for every believer. And it's not just one thing that you accomplish it and then you're done. For every season of your life, there is a walking with God where he reveals what he's asking you to do and to be. And that's not just for spiritual leaders, pastors, preachers, or the like. But at some point in your life, he will reveal his plan by giving you a dream or a vision of what he has planted in your heart and in destiny. And in order to see that vision or dream come to pass, you will have to learn to operate in audacious faith. Listen to me. If the dream that God has given you doesn't stretch you, slightly embarrass you when you share it with others, cause you to get a little nervous, then I think you need to go back and make sure that you have the same dream for your life that God has for your life. God gave Moses an amazing vision or calling that was revealed there at the burning bush. And now here with Joshua, he speaks to Joshua about his plan to use him in a ridiculously unbelievable, outlandish, and audacious way. When he says, every place where you put your foot, I'm giving you that place. No one will ever be able to stand up against you or defeat you or your armies. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you too, Joshua. And I will never leave you, never forsake you. And so Joshua goes through those 24 chapters in the book of Joshua, and it's about a span of about 25 years. And I want to give you just a couple rules for God's vision or calling in your life. My mom is 83, my dad is 81, and I believe even for them, and I was thinking about that this week, there are things God's speaking to them about this season. They're not done. They have lots of children and grandchildren coming into the world, and I know they're faithful. They show up for prayer time. And no matter where you are in life, you may be, well, Pastor Chuck, I'm just going into seventh grade. No, listen. If your ears are open to God, you'll hear him. If your heart is open, he'll reveal a purpose, a vision, a destiny, and it's going to be awesome in your life. And so let me give you three or four little rules about you operating in a sun standstill kind of faith. Number one, sun standstill prayers are about God doing something, say the word with me, impossible in order for his plan for your life to be accomplished. It's going to require something that it's impossible. It's a miracle. Secondly, if your vision doesn't require something impossible to be done, it's probably not as big as God's vision for your life. That's not just pastors, preachers, evangelists. That's for all of us. God's purpose for your life, thirdly, will require him to do something that you think is impossible on your journey. I've learned this after 51 years. I've got some talents, you've got some talents. And in our talents, in our flesh, in our own